I heard a story earlier this week about a young boy who was in the cafeteria line at his school. And as he was going through this cafeteria line, there was a great big bowl of apples. And there was a sign in front of the apples saying, "Take only one apple. God is watching." And as he kept on going through this line, he saw another big bowl filled with cookies. So he decided to make his own sign. And his own sign read, "Take as many as you want. God is watching the apples." Today is Laetare Sunday. And on Laetare Sunday, if I wanted to, I could wear rose-colored vestments rather than the purple, but we don't have rose-colored vestments, so I'm not. Father Joselito got to do that because he's at the Carmelites. But here again, with Laetare Sunday, it falls almost right in the middle of Lent, just like Gaudete Sunday falls right in the middle of Advent. Both times, we're able to wear rose-colored vestments as a reminder of the joy. Again, we should always be reminded of the joy that is involved with being disciples of the Lord. Sometimes it can be hard work, and as we're in the middle of Lent, in the middle of all of our penitential practices, we can sometimes find it difficult. But it's important that we always remember that there's joy. And today, the theme of today's readings actually work very well into that reality. Because in the Gospel of John, again, I want to mention also the fact that we do have the second scrutiny today. This is particularly for those who are preparing for baptism at Easter time, that they're going through this rite to prepare them to receive the grace of baptism. Anyways, the theme of light and darkness is very prominent in the Gospel of John. If we think back to the very beginning of the Gospel of John, where it says that the light came into the world, the light was coming into the world, and the people preferred the darkness to the light. All the way through, we have these motifs of light and darkness. And today, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He says that other places in the Gospel of John. We find Jesus stating that here today. "I am the light of the world." Now, what is he referring to when he says, "I am the light of the world"? Sometimes people think that he is comparing himself or relating himself to the sun. That just as the sun brings light into the world, Jesus brings light into our lives. But I don't think that Jesus is referring to the sun. When he says, "I am the light of the world," he's referring primarily, I think, to the pillar of fire that led the people through the wilderness to the promised land. The pillar of fire that gave light to them even at nighttime, that they were able to see. But they were able to follow this pillar of fire until they reached the promised land of Israel. And of course, for us, we are on our journey to the promised land of heaven. And the light that Jesus is bringing to us is a light that allows us to be able to see time in relation to eternity. It's able to see this world in relation to the kingdom of heaven. It allows us to see our life in relation to our destiny, which is eternal life. That we need our eyes open. We see that sin has a darkening effect. If you read St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the very first chapter, St. Paul talks about how people enter into a deeper darkness the more they engage in sinful behavior. That the more we enter into sin, the more darkness comes upon us. But when we think about those who are preparing for baptism, they are coming to the light. They have chosen Jesus in a very special way, and now want to divest themselves of anything that is not of Jesus. And we see this happening to this man who was born blind. First of all, we see very, very clearly the sacramental connection. First of all, Jesus makes mud and places it on his eyes. What do we understand from that? What do we understand? There's a new creation. There's a new creation taking place that Jesus is inaugurating. How do we know that? What makes us think that? Well, we think about the first creation, and it says that God made man out of the dust of the earth. Have you ever tried getting some dust from the get some dirt and things like that, try to form it into something? It's really impossible to do. What do you need in order to form that dirt into something? You need moisture. You need moisture. And so when Jesus makes this mud, this is the way the Jewish rabbis always saw it, that God mixed the dirt with moisture in order to be able to form the first man. Now when Jesus makes this mud again, he's showing that there's a new creation happening, that he's bringing about new life. New life. But then he says, go and wash. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The baptismal imagery is very clear. It reminds us of one of the Old Testament passages where the prophet Elisha tells the Syrian Naaman to go and wash in the River Jordan. Naaman was suffering from leprosy, and he came to the prophet in order to be healed. And the prophet, again, doesn't even come out and see Naaman. He sends his servant out. And Naaman's an important man. The prophet doesn't even come out and see him. He sends his servant out. And the servant says, go and bathe seven times in the River Jordan, and you'll be made clean. But he gets upset. He said, surely for me, I thought the prophet would come out and call in the name of his God and wave his hands over the spots and bring about the healing that way. In other words, he wanted the prophet to put on a show for him. You know, so often we want God to do things our way. We think that, well, this is the way it should be. You know, if God is going to do this, this is the way he ought to do it. And if he doesn't do it our way, we don't believe it. But here, Naaman was finally convinced by his servants to go and to wash, and he was made clean. It says that his flesh became like that of a young child. So we see this renewal that happens through the washing of water. Here, this man receives a physical healing. For us, it's a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual miracle where we are transformed into children of God. As I've said many times in the past, by nature, we are not God's children. By nature, we are creatures. It's only by God's grace that we become children. So this sacramental imagery where Jesus uses physical things, the mud, the water, to convey supernatural power, the power of healing in this particular case. But it reminds us, as we see the healing power of God, the physical healing power coming to this man, we recognize that the spiritual healing power of God comes to us through these sacramental signs. And finally, we see how the man himself gradually comes to the light. He receives this physical healing, but this is meant to bring him to a deeper light, not just the light where he's able to see things with his physical eyes. He wants to come to a spiritual insight. So you see the progression. Notice as you go through this narrative, at first, this man says that the man Jesus told me this. So now Jesus is a man. The man Jesus told me to do this. I did it. Now I can see. A little bit later on, he says, they say, what do you think about him? What is your opinion? He's a prophet. So he goes from a man to a prophet. And then a little bit later on, he's from God. He's from God. He says if he wasn't from God, he could do nothing. So he goes from a man to a prophet to from God to this man worshiping him at the very end. He worships Jesus as God. And so you see this progression as he himself comes to the light, that he becomes more aware of who Jesus is because he has this spiritual insight not coming from his physical vision, but coming from his spiritual vision. And it says at the end that they cast him out. In other words, they basically excommunicate him. The parents earlier on say, you know, he's of age, let him speak for himself, because they were afraid. They were afraid of being cast out. But the point that's being made in this, but also other places in the Gospel of John, is that this is the very point. As long as what the Jewish people were following was the best game in town, which it was for many years, as long as this was what God had revealed to them, they were required to follow it. But once God establishes something better, now it's better for you to be cut off from the old in order to be brought into the new. And that's what's happening again for those people seeking baptism. They need to lay aside all of the old. They need to be cut off from the old way, the way of natural life, to be brought into this supernatural life. So they need to renounce any connection with sin, any connection with their old way of life, in order to be able to be brought into this relationship with Jesus. And that's what the scrutiny is really all about. When we read in the Gospel of, in the Gospels, it tells us that the people who came to John the Baptist for baptism would come confessing their sins. This is really that opportunity to say no to the things of this world in order to say yes to the things of God. So I want to celebrate with those preparing for baptism the second scrutiny. So I'm going to invite those preparing for baptism to please come forward.